Good evening, everyone. I'm Johnny Tsunami, and this is Planet Paco Lolo. Well, it's a little dreary out there on the East Coast, but fortunately enough, on the West Coast, we have my lovely man, Abe Serrano, with us this evening. We are going to be talking about all things cannabis. And for those of you who don't know, Paco Lolo is Hawaiian slang for crazy tobacco, also known as marijuana. But this show is about debunking and removing the crazy out of cannabis by taking apart the stigmas, the stereotypes, and the taboos, and showing that this is a legitimate business, burgeoning and ready to explode. Today, my guest, Abe Serrano. Abe, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you, Johnny.
You look wonderful. This is why I wish I was on the West Coast sometimes, because I look like a zombie. And you're bronze, brother. You're bronze. So
I hang out at the beach every Sunday.
Beautiful thing. But here's the thing. Even if you only hang out at the beach once a week, you're still in the sun 7 days out of the week. You have once a week to go hang out on the East Coast. The chances of getting sunshine, not too good. One out of seven, not too good. So, Abe, thank you for coming on the show today. Abe Serrano, he has a really great background. And what he essentially does is take equity groups and put them together with the right people for package deals that are real estate backed. And he's done projects that are as small as $2 million up to the $100 million. So we're with a gentleman here who really knows what he's talking about. And I'm passionate about real estate myself. And I think that everybody knows all businesses, they come back to the real estate.
That's correct.
So we're also going to talk about Amazon and Mr. Bezos and them and how they feel about cannabis. But before we get into that, for the current events for today, Abe, tell me just a little bit more about yourself and how you know, just what you do specifically for cannabis professionals or people.
Absolutely.
Space.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I'm coming from the healthcare background. So that's how I got into this cannabis, you know, because I've been selling businesses for the last 30 years. And the healthcare industry. So I've been around a lot of doctors and nurses. And as I started looking into cannabis, I saw the benefits it derived for veterans, seniors, and developmentally disabled. So the effects and the benefits for cannabis is like amazing. So I started doing my research on the computer, saw how it was helping children and all those different segments I just mentioned. So I was intrigued. And so then as I got into it, California at that point, two and a half years ago, was still making the transition from, the gray market to the legal market. So I was out visiting a lot of different dispensaries and start, you know, mingling with the, you know, dispensaries and grow facilities. So I went to go get a compliance class out of Colorado and learn about the rules and regulations. And so that's kind of what started the journey. Because in the healthcare, there's also rules and regulations. So come to find out, there wasn't a lot of professionalism back there. So I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to bring my transferable skills, which is business. I've owned many businesses myself, personally. And then I've also been in financing for many years. I've owned my own mortgage company, worked for a mortgage banker. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got the financing background. So and what got me into the healthcare industry is that it was in the mortgage business and we had an earthquake here in California and it changed my market. And so I had to look for something else and I found that's the healthcare. And so that's how I got into that. But before I was really into financing. So when I got into the cannabis, then I found out that the biggest need is, again, money. And I got to have that money to make things work. And so this time around, I decided instead to approach it from the business aspect, to focus more on the financing. And I love both. Like you said, real estate is, I've been licensed for over 40 years. I should say four decades in California. And so you know, but I liked the financing. And when I got into real estate, it was creative financing. There was no loans back then. And so that's how I learned financing is creatively. And so through selling businesses, I use creative financing. And now I can use it again with cannabis because there really isn't any banks doing cannabis financing. And so I started out doing hedge funds, private offices, and working with those folks, and found that, you know, I could find the deals that these guys couldn't fund them fast enough, and they would only pick one out of 10. Mm. And I just couldn't get any momentum. So there's how I started out of my journey saying, okay, I got to figure this out myself. So I started getting back in touch with a lot of private investors, getting cultivating that, found some sources. And that's what brought us to today. So I've got sources now that it's my own private investor. And so we have many ways to fund deals. And so they're creative and I'm creative. And so it makes great energy. So we like to the challenge of bringing on new deals. And so we're looking at not just cannabis, but we can fund just about anything, come to find out. And we can now reach out to overseas. So we're in Canada and other places.
So when you talk about cannabis, though, specifically, and we think about money as opposed to real estate, and especially in the cannabis industry, money is still all primarily paper-based. So we all know that a lot of that means that primarily paper-based businesses can do a lot of fugazi stuff on the side. And so what is it that we can hold to a business accountable for is its assets, is its real estate. So when you look at a company like Acreage Holdings, which specializes in cannabis-backed real estate deals, companies like yourself out there, to me, if I was going to advise somebody, because again, what we're trying to do here is create a community of professionals that can network and also allow people that want to come into the space that have passion about the plant, but they don't have the guidance. And that's where it comes down to having a team and having guidance. So that real estate being said, sticking with the current events, Amazon is a real estate. You know, how much warehouse space is this guy buying? I don't know, maybe one day he's going to turn them into grow spaces. I don't know. But it's just, I mean, look at this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, yeah. And when we look at the tech tycoons, when we look at our Musk, we look at our, let's look at the Gates, let's look at our man here, Bezos. Bill Gates is the largest farmland owner in the US right now. He's buying up all that space.
Right.
Why? And so Amazon today released an article saying that they were in support for the federal legalization of marijuana. And then from there, well, we know the MORE Act, right, which is essentially decriminalizes marijuana, puts it back, you know, removes it from that A-list celebrity status. And then also Amazon later on went to say that they were not going to test certain employees. I'm not against it. All right. You're Amazon and you have somebody who works minimum wage in a factory. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking like this: unemployment, right? It's crazy. Nobody wants to go home. Nobody wants to go to work. Why would I work at Amazon if I can just sit at home? Right.
Right.
And smoke weed at home. Wait a second. Amazon goes, all right, we'll let them smoke weed. We won't drug test certain people, right? Because at the end of the day, those people that we don't really, you know, are not huge high-level positions, somebody who's putting tape across a box, let the guy stand there, be stoned off his ass for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
What's your take on this, please? I would love to hear it. And especially even in the real estate perspective, too.
Yeah. I actually see it. So I've been in operations where, you know, there's people still smoking, you know, and they'll go outside in the break and they're smoking. And you know? So they're not testing heavily right now. And the economy is so weak, I believe, that people, you know, companies need people to come back to work. So they're almost going to do whatever they have to do. So I'm not surprised that they're going to set that little bar there for these people to come back to work and be stoned. But like you said, they're not highly skilled, so then it's okay. But in some companies, you're going to have to be, you know, a little bit more regulated. You can't do that in the healthcare industry.
I mean, you can't do it in healthcare, but even within Amazon, okay, obviously, if you have a CDL license, you're not going to be able to get Stone to go drive and deliver packages. No. But at the end of the day, if Amazon is willing to make the comment, which it's Amazon, this is corporate capitalism at its highest.
Yes.
If it's willing to say, we're not going to test certain positions for cannabis, and we also agree and approve upon federalization of marijuana, I would say that would levy the vote hugely when you're looking at how legislation and how things will kind of transgress from there, which is, it's not a bad thing for us, because if somebody like Bezos or Amazon comes along and says, you know, I want to get into this because I see there's an untapped market. If Amazon starts delivering cannabis and cannabis is federally legal, hello. I mean, the guy built his business on delivery.
Yes.
So how many people are going to be working from home now that aren't going to be drug tested, that are white collar jobs? Let's not even worry about blue collar. You know, I'm driving a truck. Okay. It's like, let me weigh the options out there. And if somebody can get their job done and be successful at what they do, it would be the same thing as saying, all right, well, we're going to put a, you know, post prohibition, there was a bar in every, there was a liquor cap closet in every office, in every business in America. Nobody came in and was like, freeze, you know, stop. We're going to test how much alcohol you've consumed on your advertising day. And then it becomes down to the, you know, how it affects one person or another. And if it doesn't affect your productivity levels, or even furthermore, enhances them, I don't know. I think there's far worse alternatives as well.
And it's true. There's some industries like the entertainment industry. It creates a very good atmosphere for creativity. I mean, it's just always been the fact. I mean, so some very good music's come out of people being high, so to speak. So, but, you know, and that's the creativity then allows the mind to expand in all aspects. So it's been proven that, you know, you can do more if you're have that freedom in the mind to create. Let's say an artist or somebody that's doing computer stuff that can still do their job, and it's more mechanical than it is to maybe speak or, you know, act or something like that. But there's a lot of industries that is going to benefit from it. So it's a very creative, and it's got some great benefits. I mean, I just see on the other side that, you know, without this, there's some people that wouldn't be able to function. I use CBD myself, and I've used THC in the past, you know, when I was younger, but now today it's over my head. I mean, it's so good that it's beyond me, but you know, I'm not at that level yet. So, but you know, I think it's great. I think it's very positive, and there's no way of turning back. It's only going to get better, and people are going to need it more. You know, they're going to find out the benefits are far better than the negatives. You know, and I see going through generations is the barrier. And that's why I mentioned seniors. There's a big need for education in that population. And my father's one of them. He's in that category. He's like, oh, no, that's not good. It's like, well, just try it. You know, and just to get him to try CBD is a challenge, because it's like, it's not good. And it's like, it's not the same thing. So it's education, really. And if we can educate people in all aspects of the need for the benefit, then that's where I try to work with a lot of my clients is, you know, they're just with CBD is like, education is the key. You got to get out there and you got to educate. You got to get in front of the nurses and the doctors and show them, and have some clinical trials. We're doing that. Some clinical trials with different types, and same thing with THC. There, if we can get out there to the athletes and some of the people that really can benefit from this, you know, we are going to do some amazing things, and it's going to create a lot more creativity, I think. That's my take.
Beautiful, Abe. Let's, honest, Abe, I'm going to call you because I'm going to ask you a question. When we get back, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay, sure.
Take a little break. After this break, come right back. Planet Paco Lola. I'm your host, Johnny Tsunami, with Abe Serrano. Let's go.
All right.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
All right, folks, we're back. I'm Johnny Tsunami. This is Planet Paco Lolo, episode two. Sorry, segment two with Abe Serrano. We are bringing it back. Segment two, we like to talk about the science, the business, and the method. So Abe, he is a real estate guy. He brings people together. You have an idea, you have a project, and this might not necessarily be cannabis related, but we're going to focus on cannabis. You have a project that you have in mind. He has the group. He puts the deals together. And what he's been finding with cannabis is that real estate is really the most important component that is needed when you're trying to structure these deals. Because it, and I will agree and attest to this, being from somebody who has already experienced this. I had a medical marijuana farm, Abe, up in Maine. And the property is what's the most valuable thing out of that. Property, the land, or in real estate world, real property. So, Abe, why don't you kind of just take us a little bit through the science or the business or the method of how you create these deals for people?
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the time, you know, our minimum loan amount is $2 million. So what I do is a lot of many people say, oh, I'm just going to go lease the property or the building or the land. And that's okay if they have to get the address for that property to get it going. So there's like same thing in healthcare. You got to have an address before you get an application. And once you get approved, then you have to have some place to anchor down. So what I tell people is that a lot of them come to me and they say, well, I don't need $2 million. It's like, okay, I understand. But let's think of it down the road. And I've only learned this from my journey here with the cannabis is that people get into a location, they lease the building or the land for cultivation. Then the landlord goes, oh, you know, you're making a lot of money. I want more rent. Or what happens is they'll force them out of that building because now they've did all the tenant improvements. And now that's hundreds of thousands of dollars that they spent. They can bring in somebody else to charge them more than they charged them initially. So there's how they take possession. So I tell them, go in, start with a lease with an option. We have the option to buy them out. We'll fund the money, buy that option out, and buy the building or the property. So that's how I get them over $2 million. So that's just like a word of caution. And that's like I tell everybody, and because my knowledge in the healthcare industry, especially, and same thing with cannabis, any business, is that the business gives you cash flow. The real estate gives you wealth. Over the period of your career, then your money is going to be made in that real estate. You know, I've sold buildings that are skilled nursing 100-bed facilities, and they are making more money out of that building when they sell it, or they can sell the business portion and lease the building to the next operator and have income for the rest of their life, and always leverage against to pull cash out. And I do that also. You know, we can, that's where a lot of my investors come from, is from the healthcare industry. So they, you know, I started many years ago, you know, some 30 some years ago with healthcare. And so I started, you know, they paid off their buildings. So they have got buildings now that I sold for 800, 900,000. Now they're worth 3-4 million. I can pull cash out of it, put it into the cannabis business, and they become my investors. So there's how what I know works is to have that real estate. And same thing out of Colorado. Colorado, I mean, is a great example, is that all these guys that started 10, 15 years ago, they're getting out of the market. There was a big turnover there, you know, just as California was launching, because they would take their equity out of their operations and help other people, you know, start their operations or go, you know, buy a bigger place or switch from whatever is hot. And at that time, it was extract. So they went from cultivation to extract, and they poured their money, all their equity into extract, and benefited from the market as it was emerging in, they benefit from it. So you can do that all the time. So real estate is powerful. It's powerful. You know, and
you gave me chills, kid. You gave me chills. Chills.
I do it all the time. I mean, I can take somebody and show them how to become wealthy with real estate. And so that's the key. And the business pays for the real estate. Now it's a tax benefit. There's incentives. I mean, so there's the whole thing, you know. So I do this with people, and cannabis is not any different. It's just that it happens faster.
But people in cannabis in the past have always just focused on the plant, which is what it should be. That doesn't mean real estate. You know how many farmers I know who have been farming on other people's land and thinking that they're walking away with cash flow, which they are, but they're not walking away with the deed to that property.
No.
And there's a big difference. So let's, you mentioned leases, right? What's the average, maybe you come across people that have either been in a horrible situation, or you're preventing them from getting into a horrible situation. Do you recommend, if somebody says to you, well, you know, here's a 1-year lease, here's a 5-year lease, where do you find it to be like, if somebody, where do you cross the line on that? Where it's like, okay, you know, somebody's actually giving you a deal as opposed to they're not.
Right. So, you know, you always want to do a lease with extension. So, you know, a 5-year lease with 3-year, 2 5-year options, because here's what most operators do. And I've been through this so many times. Big thing here in the healthcare industry is that I watched these guys build empires over on leases. So they would take a building, build it out from scratch. They'd have assisted living, skilled nursing, and then they'd operate it for a number of years. And then they'd pull out, lease out the building, and then move on to the next building and build it again and again. So here, what we have is that if once you put that or anchor that license to that location, it's good only in that location. You have to resubmit for another address somewhere else. So to do that, you're not just picking up and moving out in the middle of the night. You have a long journey ahead to go get requalified. And in some states, like here in California, there's a moratorium. You can't just, you know, there's green zones you have to be in. There's only so much space, so much places to put new locations. So you have to then, if you're moving a location, it'll take you years to get it ready and move it over. You know, so there's where 5 years goes like, you know, so fast that people don't realize it. So 5 years is nothing. I've had people say, well, I only want to do 2 years, maybe 1 year, just to test it out. I said, look, it'll take me, back then, it was taking a year to sell a assisted living or skilled nursing facility. And so cannabis sells a little faster, but people don't, not all of them have the money.
So here's my question. Lease to own.
Yes, that's it. That's the.
But in cannabis, are they allowing that?
Oh, yeah. So option is, and I've studied options. Option is the most powerful thing out there. I mean, I helped the operator buy and sell. They had an option to buy the real estate and had their business in there in that property. And I sold out the option. So it's like real estate houses, right? So I've worked with a lot of flipping in houses. You can flip an option without paying for the real estate. You can sell the option, and over time it goes up in value. So you're making money off of just the option. So there's so many creative ways to do real estate. It's amazing. So that's one of them. So, yeah.
I like that, because when you think about the cannabis industry, you have to be creative.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, some businesses, okay, so here's another question. You're a West Coast guy. Do you want to be in the East Coast at all, or is there just too much business in the West Coast, or are you guys trying to spread your wings in other locations? Or
now, with my lender, they'll go anywhere. So, yeah, Michigan is hot, Florida is hot,
Oklahoma
is building up, you know, and Texas,
Jersey. New Jersey,
the Northeast is very hot. New York, New Jersey. Upstate New York is very hot, and it's a very good area, you know, but it's more seasonal because it's got to be more indoors. So, and here's where I see the market emerging is that eventually, and my prediction in the next 2 years, real estate's going to take a hit. Probably the only real estate that's not going to take that hit is cannabis, you know. So, but then again, like you said, get creative with the buildings. There's buildings out there that you can put grow facilities in as long as it's in the right area. So people, you know, we just went through, let's take a movie house, for instance, a large theater here in California. There's several. And then also what's taken a big hit is shopping centers.
They converted a movie house into a grow
facility. Yes.
So, and this was like an old movie house that God knows how much kind of mold and asbestos and whatever the hell was in there.
They've shut them down through the COVID. So they've been sitting there.
Oh, like a present day AMC theater kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, my God. And AMC just took a hit. So imagine a company like AMC says, all right, what is our asset? Real estate.
Right.
Okay, nobody's going to go in our theaters anymore because everything's digital anyway, and COVID just did the complete paradigm shift.
Yeah.
So everybody's ideologies and thinking patterns have changed. Let's just put a bunch of weed in our theaters. So for every fucking, for every little tiny person that paid a ticket, it's a plant sitting there, and now it's canopy as opposed to being. See, that's the kind of stuff, Abe. I love it. Go ahead. Tell me. I know you want to tell me something.
Yeah, and right now here, there's many malls that are going out of business. I mean, shopping malls where these big box companies are going out. You know, it's like what is it? Companies like Sears and JCPenney's and all these large. So the malls are just taking a hit. So, and they sit on a big piece of property. So we're repurposing those where we're doing housing and a community. We're building a little community. So that's the trend. Same thing with cannabis. I mean, so you go in there and either take the thing down and turn it all into cannabis, or you can just convert it, you know, the shell, and go in there and reconvert it and have what here they do industrial parks, and you lease out the space to growers.
All right, stop. You're giving them too much. You're giving them too much. I mean, we're gonna take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into it, segment three. Abe, thank you. This is very good stuff. We'll be back. Planet Pacalolo. Take a break.
All right.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
It's me, Johnny Tsunami. This is Planet Pacalolo, and I am here with Abe Serrano, and we are talking real estate. I call him Honest Abe, and I have to ask him a question. Abe, this right here is our original logo. Okay. This right here is the update.
I like the color. It looks good. And I like the plant.
I grew that.
Did you really? Oh, wow.
Nice. And that's from organic living soil. Oh, no, wow. Newts. No newts. Yeah. If you're a Cali person and you've been out there long enough, you respect it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's organic. What it was built upon. Yeah, I'm very organic in my food.
It was all built upon organic because, like, listen, what do you have? A bunch of expatriate hippies. It came out, they went up over there, and they were growing tomatoes and vegetables, and they grew some pot. And then a bunch of ruffians came in and were like, we're just straight up growing pot. It's all about where the roots were from, which was traditionally from a good place. And all businesses were the roots in the real estate. So that being said, I wanted to ask you a question. In the segment three, this is about the personal narrative, something about you as a person, why you felt a calling to not necessarily just not shift, but to add cannabis to what you do as part of your repertoire of regular everyday business?
Well, I see it as the future. And so, you know, just like electronics are emerging, cannabis is emerging to the point is, and I love the technology, the people that are involved, that, you know, this is scientists, the genetics, everything is just fascinating to me. The technology with the banking that's coming. I mean, so my world's going to change and I won't have the opportunity to do what I'm doing now. So I have to merge with the market, which I've done in all my career. So last 4 decades, I've always moved with the market. So, you know, when the earthquake hit, I moved to healthcare, and then now I'm moving back to cannabis. This is like the future, the rest of my career. And so as I emerge myself into real estate and financing, I'm doing the same thing with cannabis. You know, I'm out there, I visit dispensaries and cultivations, and I study and look for the new technology and what's really coming on. And it's fascinating to me because they have to tell me what they've got because they want money. And so these are the people that I come across. So I see things that most people haven't seen yet or even heard about. And I can't divulge what it is, but it's fascinating to me. It's like being able to be at the lab and watch these guys. You know, and that's another facet of the business, just the laboratories testing. You know, and government's going to be heavily involved in that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be needed. And it all affects everybody down the chain of command, is all the way down to, you know, the seed to sale from the very beginning. So it's phenomenal. And I believe that cannabis is going to see some great things in the future. And I want to be a part of it. I like making history. You know, it's like, and I've lived through a lot of history. And so, you know, I've seen a lot of things. And so it's like, I'm ready for this. And it's amazing to talk to people that are in the business, and I want to keep in touch with everybody.
And I think part of what I want to try to achieve on the show, it's about or something that we say here, right? You can see it on the logo there, a less taboo view,
right?
You know, to be able to talk about these things at a dinner table, at a family barbecue, on the radio, on the news, whatever it may be. And to be able to speak about it in a way that it doesn't become something where people go cower in the corner or we cover in people's ears. It has to be appreciated more as something that is really going to, as you said before, maybe in the second or first segment, that we're not moving back, we're moving forward.
Right.
And whether or not, and I deal a lot with artificial intelligence as well. And that's just one of those things, like, to go back into Amazon, come on. They just released that Amazon wants to start allowing all of the Amazon devices to communicate, right? Data is the new oil. It is information. Do you realize how much Amazon as a company is worth? And when we start to think about it in its asset sense of like real property is one thing. But when you start to think about it in its cloud space, the data itself is worth, I don't know, I don't even want to venture. But the fact is that we're not moving backward, we're moving forward. And these technology, 3D printing, artificial intelligence, machine learning, 5G networks, 6G, 7G, whatever we go to, space exploration, cannabis, alternative means of wellness. I would think that as a society, as we evolve and become more intelligent, we would also realize that the way that we approach medicine traditionally, which would be seen as the scientific approach, which is not devalued, but at the same time, that approach is the only way that we've been traditionally looking at getting somebody's health better.
Okay.
Says, oh, I have a stomach ache. But then they're like, well, the doctor gave me this pill. And it's, I don't even want to venture how many other pills were added to that list before, you know. And that's where we're comfortable in to accept certain things, but not others. And I think that's where I feel like this segment, you know, we talked a lot of business. All right. And honestly, we keep talking about real estate business, but I would also want people to reach out to you and learn more on a more intimate level. But I think that the part of it also that is important is to respect the plant for what it is. So you said now before CBD is what you're on now because CBD, and it's so funny because my friend has, I have multiple friends that have hemp farms, and you can smoke really good hemp and feel almost the same effect in the way. I mean, I have friends that are, they can't THC, right? And then so they enjoy it. But you were saying in the past, you did have THC. Tell me, come on, you got to give me some kind of story. Back in the past, you know, and are we still talking Cali at this point?
Yeah. Well, no,
where are we going?
I grew up in the West, in Kansas. So it's like, I mean, they had to ship it in from, you know, Mexico or, you know, Oregon or somewhere. I mean, it's way out there. So it's like, by the time it got to us, it was not that great, you know, but we thought it was.
It was literally like somebody, it literally just tumbled all the way across to the Midwest. And you're like, all right, well, whatever, you know? And it's funny when you look at that, there's so many people that say that, you know, that have had it in, you know, it's 20, 30, 40 years ago, and how the technology has really advanced it to a degree where somebody who may not have been, you know, partaking cannabis, let's say in like 5 years or 10 years, and all of a sudden they come back and somebody says, hey, try this shit from a dispensary. And then they try it and they're just like, time warp, boop, you know, they don't even know how they got there. So, but at the same time, there's how many people have a tolerance to alcohol or pharmaceutical grade drugs, whatever the case may be. We still do know that it's definitely a healthier version, especially if you're not even smoking it. And once you can start to get into the dosage end of it, which you had said baking and edibles and the science of manufacturing, which we'll be getting a guest coming up who special wants to just get that manufacturing license. And I've met quite a few manufacturers there. It's an art like anything else. You have to get the right balance. And what people are looking for is consistency, mm-hmm. right? They want to make sure that if it's this dosage, this is what they get. So, and I think that's where, you know, we could look at it and say, that's what we want to see in any kind of person who's running a business. We want to see that kind of consistency, now maybe not necessarily in the manufacturing sense, but if they have that real estate experience or whatever kind of experience they bring to the table, as somebody who's trying to be a professional getting into the cannabis space, you want to make sure all those ducks are in a row. So we are going to go into take a little break at the end of this segment. Next segment coming up, we will be in our final segment, our message and our opportunity, where Abe will tell us, this is what I recommend that you guys need to do before you even decide to go into something as crazy as cannabis. I'm Johnny Tsunami. This is Paco Lolo. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas.
This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Right. Hello, everybody. We're back at segment four of Planet Pocololo, A Less Taboo View. Maybe. I don't know yet. I'm still have to battle with it. It feels good. But honestly, Abe told me, you know, hey, I like both. But he did like the colors on this one. So I'm starting to lean in this direction. Either way, it's always about budding opportunities on this show. So no pun intended. Segment four. This is the messenger, the opportunity to the audience. We talk to cannabis professionals that deal in different verticals throughout the industry, and we ask them their perspective, right? And Abe is here today, and he spoke to us in detail about why real estate is, and I would agree with him actually, to be one of the most, if not most important aspects of structuring a proper cannabis deal. So the first thing that I'd like to ask, you know, Abe, as far as when we're looking at really getting into a cannabis project, and, you know, we know that there's different sizes, a smaller person, there's larger person, but I'm going to speak to maybe now New Jersey. There's a lot of micro licenses going out. So those people are, you know, in your $2 to $5 million range, depending on how they want to outfit that. What would you recommend are the first steps somebody should take if they were looking to, you know, approach you or approach a cannabis deal?
You know, it's good to have a business plan. I would say that's where you start. You got to have your plan put together. You have your team. Very important to have a good qualified team. You know, there's people that are qualified that don't have credentials. Like you said, they've been growing for 15, 20 years. And, you know, they've gone through the whole, you know, illegal to gray to the legal market. I have a nephew that is in that same situation. He's retired now because of health. But there's, you know, many people in that segment that are good qualified growers and personnel for the team that lends credibility, even though they don't have the official license or they're not, you know, from the labs or anything like that. It's good to have people like that, but you want to build up your team. So very important to have a good plan, have a good team, have a project, you know, have an idea where you're headed. It's like everything. You got to plan your work and then work your plan. Right. So that's how you work.
Well, it's okay. So now let me get a little deeper into the New Jersey aspect of it. But I'm only saying this because we all know that these states are mimicking each other, right? And you coming from the West Coast actually have a more matured version of that because you've seen a state go through the whole process. So a micro license right now, the big talk is, and I mean zero cultivation. Let's just talk. I'm getting a micro license, just the right to distribute, right? No growing, no manufacturing, maybe a delivery license, but let's not even put that in there. So thinking in the real estate sense, what would probably be the message or the opportunity for somebody in New Jersey who's looking at a micro license through the real estate?
Yeah, what I'm seeing a lot of is they come to me and they say, and it's a misconception. They feel like they can get a license They don't have any money, though. You know, they have a dream, they have an idea, but they don't have their business plan. So they've got to start somewhere. So there's two places, the business plan, pitch deck is what we call it now, and then the performa, you know, how are you going to be able to pay it back? And then the most important thing is credit, you know, to, you need seed capital, in other words. So I show and have done this in all kinds of businesses in the past, is how them how, show the clients how to get money, seed capital. They need money for that applications. They need money. So you got to start your corporation. You need money for that. So you've got to start somewhere. You know, so it's okay to go out to family and friends, but that runs out and it only gets you so far. So I always tell people, build up your business credit. And I've studied that many years myself. And I've done that. And now I have people that help me do that. So you build up your business credit. You get business lines of credit to do some of that seed capital. What you don't want to do is start giving away equity. And that's what these angel investors are doing. They're taking your equity. And so I advise people all the time, just like real estate, that there's things you don't want to do. You don't want to start giving equity away early on in the venture, is that then you start, you'll end up working for somebody else. And that's not what we're in it for. We're in it to progress and be self-employed.
Let me ask you a question. On the flip side, that is it worth it to give equity to a partner that brings value to the table?
Yes, it is in some cases. And let's say it's you and a buddy and you've got the ideas together. You've got the business side and he's got the operational side. And those are the two sides of the business that it takes in any business. And I've been in business many times and they're, again, financial. So you have to, you can hire that. But somebody that's good in giving the, you know, taking care of the operation is very vital. That's the day to day. And the creativity is the business side to be able to make sure all the paperwork is done, you know, stay legal, everything's got to be, that takes two sides. It's like a marriage almost. You don't have that partnership, or it's very difficult because I try to do it myself to run both sides with help, but it's almost impossible. You need a good relationship. That's what the team is for. You can delegate some of that out and have people help you in areas that you can't do everything. You can't wear all the hats and make it successful.
Thank you, Abe. Thank you for drawing, because dealing with consulting, I have, and I don't do any outbound marketing for anybody. I don't reach out to anybody. I don't want that. People come to me and I shoot them straight. And this is what it is. But if you have money, I'm going to play the flip side, right? Because let's say you're building cap, you're backing the capital off of real estate. But let's just say in the opposite end, I have a client who comes to me and says, I've got money. That's nice. I'm a doctor. That's great. Are you a doctor of cannabis? No. Do you know anything about it? No. Oh, do you have, you have 10 offices. You have tons of real estate. That's great. But just because you know how to give somebody a prescription for a drug doesn't mean you know anything about cannabis or real estate or payroll. Well, maybe, depending on if you handle your own payroll, which is probably not the case. So to me, it's like, you come across people on both sides. One, they have no money and they want to be part of it, but they're very passionate. And then you have people that have a bunch of money, but you know, they think that they know everything because they have money and they de facto should just be granted this situation. And then all of a sudden you have to smack them and say, welcome to reality. There's other things going on and there's other powers that be. I'm speaking in the more of the legislative sense that you better have the right people in your pocket if you want to get a license. That's a whole nother story in relation to real estate. So I think it's very important to also differentiate that and let people know that. But again, it brings us back to the beginning, which is why real estate in general isn't bad. You know, at the end of the day, even if that, because there's people that will purchase real estate assuming that they think that they're going to be able to operate a license in that town, either they don't get granted the paper, they don't get the license, and now they have a property that they can't do anything with, or the town, which is, as we all know, it's
based on the individual municipality to vote whether they would agree to putting the property and the zoning on it, XYZ. And you go and you buy a property in a town that hasn't even officially said that they would even do it. Now you have a property that, what are you going to do with that? So to have someone like you to look at it in that perspective as just real estate and say, you know, and I'm very, as I said, very intrigued by the real estate in the sense to say that, well, let's not look at this as just cannabis real estate. Let's look at this as real estate that is real estate and the value of it as far as what it stands as a real property sitting XYZ. And then when you look at it in that perspective, it helps the parties that be that are getting involved that might be throwing their own money in, or whether it's coming from another alternate source, an equity fund or whatever it's coming from, they feel more comfortable. Why? Because it's based on real estate. And that's where we are today. So as far as that goes, Abe, I really do want to say that this was a wonderful episode. I really appreciate you coming out or coming on Zoom land and hanging out with us at Planet Paco Lolo. Is there any final messages that you want to give to the audience?
No, I just, you know, encourage everybody to get involved. And it's like I tell people, get in where you fit in, you know, and don't hold yourself back, you know, just get out there and learn. And it's okay to make mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, you're not doing anything. So that's how I've gotten to where I'm at. You know, it's like, and I made my share, but I just encourage, don't just wait, get going, you know, because team up with somebody, learn, you know, that's education is so important. But no, I wish everybody the best. And, you know, I'm here to help if that's possible. You know, can I give them my phone number to let them know how to get on?
Give it. Send it out. Shoot it out.
In California, 818-200-8067. That's my cell phone. I pick up my own phone. I usually take everything by appointment. And I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can reach me there. So they call me the master connector in LinkedIn. So I connect people. If you need something, I'm here to help.
Honestly, looking at this photo, dude, you look like the master samurai. Abe. Thank you very much. This is Planet Paco Lolo. I am Johnny Tsunami. Another episode in the bank. Respect the cannabis. Love the cannabis. And let us move on. Have a great evening, everybody. Peace!
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You listeners looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.